Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, I spoke to Adrutha Lee about her decades-spanning career. In 2022 alone, she was the hair department head for The Menu, Amsterdam, Black Adam, and George and Tammy. Lee is an Oscar winner for Dallas Buyers Club, a BAFTA Film Award nominee for I, Tonya, and a three-time Hollywood Makeup Artist and Hairstylist Guild Award winner for Birds of Prey, Bombshell, and I, Tonya.
I really wanted to start out by asking you if there was a film or a television series when you were growing up that sort of took your mind to the place where you thought that this could be a legitimate career as a hair designer.
You know, it was mostly the movies. You know, I remember as a little girl when I was watching The Wizard of Oz, you know, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I would love to be a part of that. And, you know, a lot of the old movies, I remember seeing Casablanca. I mean, these go back to, you know, old movies, and thinking, oh wow, I would love to be able to style the hair and make these women pretty. And, you know, it was usually movies that I would see.
Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my most visceral movie experiences being 12 Years a Slave. And so I'd love to hear what that experience was like, because it obviously won the Academy Award. But it also, I mean, it tells a story that is so harrowing and so necessary. And I'm wondering what it was like to be on that set, especially, I mean, Steve McQueen's set.
It was pretty unbelievable. It was pretty unbelievable that, you know, I was able to do that movie. That was a great year for me. That was the same year that I did Dallas Buyers Club, won the Oscar. I did one earlier in that year with Harmony Korine. And then I was so lucky. I had been following 12 Years a Slave. I was familiar with the project, and I had been doing Angelina, and I had worked with Brad. And I went to Brad and I said, Brad, is there any way that you could, you know, possibly get me an interview with this director? And he said, I can make sure that you get an interview. He said, but it's totally up to the director as to who he picks. And we were in New Orleans. I was in New Orleans, and I went to see Steve McQueen, and I carried a laundry basket, a laundry basket full of heads that I had met. Yeah, I mean, he looked at me like, okay, what is this? Who is this girl? So I walk in with the laundry basket full of mannequin heads with the same texture hair of, you know, a lot of the characters that would be in the movie, and had done different things to them. And I walked in, and I had a book, and I had been to a research facility, a Warner Brothers research facility in Los Angeles, that I used to go there a lot. And I went through book after book after book on just different things. And it's really hard to find pictures of, you know, any African-Americans, especially, of course, nothing during that period. But mm-hmm. You know, I remember trying to research, and I went in with this huge book, and he was really impressed with the research for sure. And, you know, and I told him how much I would really love to do the movie, and I felt like I could. And he said, well, can you do my kind of hair? And I said, yes, I can. And I'll also bring the team with me that can do what needs to be done. And, you know, he had several interviews, and then they called me back and they said, we want you to meet. He said, I want you to meet somebody. And it was Lupita. So I went to this room with this conference table, and there sat Lupita, and, you know, really sweet and really knew what she wanted. And, you know, this was going to be a different experience for her, because I don't think that she had really done anything up until 12 years of life. So she had, her head was shaved kind of like Grace Jones. And, you know, she had a flat top, and it was shaved. And so Steve said, what can we do? You know, what can we do? Do we just shave her head? And I said, no. I said, during that, you know, a slave would not have had a shaved head. I said, you know, they didn't have the nutrition that they needed, but they would still have a little bit of hair. So I came up with a process to where I could add hair. You know, I made different pieces of hair and put them on her head and then kind of sewed it together and then added, a hairline. I gave her a hairline, something. We talked about that and she kind of explained to me kind of the kind of hairline she wanted. So we did that. And it's like really just placing one hair at a time all around her hairline and then adding the other pieces. And that's how we got Lupita's look. But before we went through all that, I met with Lupita, and then that's when I got the call later that I had the job.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing experience. The day that Lupita, that we had the scene with Michael Fassbender, and she had the soap,
and
it was such a horrific scene.
Mm-hmm.
The camera drops down to where the soap drops on the ground. That day we shot that scene fairly early in the day, and it was so tough on the crew that they let us have the rest of the day off.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see why. Just watching that film, you kind of need to sort of have time to process anything after that. So I completely understand that. And glad that they gave you the time to sort of have that moment to yourself after. Speaking of that same year, like you said, Dallas Buyers Club, for a lot of people, especially a new generation, this was probably the first film that, for me, especially also being a gay male, I really did not know much about AIDS society's own, I guess, fault, just not sort of displaying the horrific nature of it and how the education of it has just not been taught. But through that film, I was able to really pick up on so much of what had happened during that time period. And it's meant so much to me since watching. And I know that it's meant so much to so many individuals across the world at this point, because it really is, I don't know how you do those two pictures sort of like back to back in a way, or even in the same year, just because it's so hard. But I know that in a previous chat, we were talking about how you were on such a limited budget and there was not a lot of time to do things. And being from Dallas and knowing exactly where the story took place, I'm just curious, like, what was that environment like? And going back to like how you won the Oscar for that, I think it's such an incredible story. And it's a success story that I think will stand the test of time. Like the little movie that could, really.
Well, you know, I was chasing that movie. I wanted to do that movie. You know, I wanted to work. Yeah, I thought it'd be great to work with Matthew. And I had heard that he had lost a lot of weight. I think it was like 45 pounds that he had lost. But I chased that movie and I called around to find out who was doing it. And I wanted to do it. And then, you know, the first thing that I was told before I talked to the director, Jean-Marc, what a wonderful person he was.
Mm-hmm.
Before I talked to him, they said, look, it's a very low budget and there's no money. And I said, that's okay. I said, I've worked a lot this year. I'm good. I want to do it. So anyway, I interviewed with Jean-Marc. He was up in Canada when we talked, and you know, and he liked me and I liked him. I told him, you know what, I said, I can do this movie. I said, I've lived that life. I know those people. You know, I've been around a lot of people that have suffered through it in the 80s and nobody knew anything about it. And I said, you know, that part of the country, I said, I'm familiar with, because I'm from the South. And I said, I want to do it. Please let me. So anyway, I got the job and found out. I mean, when we went to do the test, the first test, Matthew came in. We didn't even have a trailer. I cut, colored, did his hair, did it with the sink in the bathroom. We did it up in the director's office, up in Jean-Marc's office. And I put a sheet on the floor and we did the cut, color, perm, everything we needed to do. And he rinsed his hair in the sink in the bathroom. And we got through that. And then they tell me I was going to meet Jared. And Jared was downstairs in this office building. And he had asked somebody to ask me if I had wigs. And I said, yes, I do. So I said, I've got some in the car. I had a box of wigs. And they came and got them. Jared went through the wigs, picked what he wanted, picked one of them, and then came and did the interview with Jean-Marc. And I met him that day, but he was interviewing with Jean-Marc. Jean-Marc never met him as Jared. He only met Crayon. I mean, that's how Jared came to him. So, you know, it was amazing. As a matter of fact, at the Oscar luncheon, that was the first time I heard Jared's voice.
Oh, wow.
Jared spoke to me, but you know, it was a labor of love. I remember Jean-Marc coming to me and saying, you know, Rayon is really trying. Rayon doesn't have any money. And, you know, so he can't, he's just, he, you know, you just need to do what you can to make him look like somebody that's just suffering. So I had this wig, I cut it. And he said, no, 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 it's not there. It's not there. And I got so angry one day because I just had run out of ideas. I went out in the parking lot, threw it down in the gravel, got my car, drove over it a few times. And because I remember all the times that we've shot at strip clubs and you look in the parking lot, you know, when you're out, when you're shooting in a strip club and you'll see it, you'll see a weave, you'll see a piece of in the gravel, you know, and you look at it. And that just came to mind when, you know, and I shook it off. And so I called Jean-Marc's assistant and I said, okay, come to the trailer. I think I think I'm there. And Jean-Marc came to the trailer and he said, that's it. That's it. when we did the bake-off for it, I had a piece of cut tire and I put it as part of my display. This is what made this wig, what Jean-Marc ended up wanting. Just crazy. Mm. But we had no money. It was, I lost money on that. But I had, at least I had a stock of wigs. And I had enough things. And I remember at one point they came to us and we had lost financing. And I'm losing my train of thought. Anyway, so, oh my God.
You lost financing for the job. And
yeah, we did. And here they came out with their credit cards. The UPM came out with a credit card. Matthew said, here, we got to do it. He said, this train is leaving the station. I'll never forget when he said that. He said, this train is leaving the station. He said, anybody that wants on, get on. So it was credit cards that got us through that period until they found another financier.
Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, no. I mean, that's that part of it.
Oh, God. And then you found out that you were Oscar nominated when?
I was in Puerto Rico. I was doing a show with John Malkovich down in Puerto Rico, and I get this call. I had not, I wasn't aware of really anything. And I get this call from the producer, and she said, Rachel, she said, I just want to congratulate you on making the shortlist. And I said, what's that? And she said, the shortlist for the Oscars. And she started to explain it to me. And I said, oh, wow. And she said, yeah. She said, congratulations, you're on the short list. And I said, for doing my job? I mean, that's literally what I said. And she said, oh, no, 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 you did more than your job. You went above and beyond, and congratulations. So it was all a new experience for me. And it wasn't anything that I tried to do or tried to get, you know, it was just, but that's how it went down to begin with. And then trying to fly back to LA to do some of the things I needed to do from Puerto Rico was really tough because that's when the whole country was, you know, ice and snow and you couldn't find an airport. And twice I had to come back and I had to go through Panama to come up to LA to try to make some of the things that I needed to do for, but I had no idea. I mean, it took me 6 months probably before I realized that I really did win an Oscar. I mean, it's just, you're in shock because it's like a movie that you just did your job and you didn't have any money, but I didn't really think about that, but it's really cool.
Mm. Yeah. And then, I mean, I think this is the first job with Margot, but Itanya, which I think is just one of the best. I mean, one of the best films in the past 10 years. I feel like it's just, it's so electrifying. It's so fun. It's sad. I mean, it gives you all of the emotions. And I'm wondering what it was like meeting Margot for the first time, because obviously you've worked with her so many times since. And I'm just curious what that was like.
Well, she's wonderful. I got to tell you, she'll go out there and she'll sell anything that you do to her. It's just, it's a dream to have somebody like her. But I actually met Margot on The Big Short.
Oh, that's right. Mm.
The bathtubs, the scene, that one scene.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be another actress and the actress backed out. And I mean, we're talking at the last minute. And Adam called and they got Margot and she said, sure, I'll come do it. And I mean, it was, and she was there. She was wonderful. She was a delight to work with. And then when Itanya came up, and that was another one that I kind of went after because I wanted to do it. You know, I really do good with it, that kind of story. Mm. And anyway, so I ended up talking to the director, and you know, I already had known that they were trying to get Margot, and that after I talked to the director, then Margot was in I think she was in London shooting something, and I talked to her over Zoom, and it was just so exciting. You know, she was excited about it, I was excited about it, and I told her, I said, I can do this. You have no worries. I said, I can remember watching all this on television, but I said, we can, you know, I said, I would love to do this with you. And of course I got the job to do it. And we didn't have a lot of money on that one either. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there was days when I think the wig that I used on Alice and Janney, you know, I said, I use the same one for like three different things, you know, and I had to change it out and I had to do stuff to it. And then you have that iconic scene with the bird sitting on her shoulder. Mm. And, you know, just, I remember thinking, and the bird kept taking the hairpins out of the wig, going up. Y'all need to change this bird out. I said, this bird is just getting on my last nerve. I can't keep putting the hairpins in. So they had two. So they put a different bird on her shoulder and that one left the shiny stuff alone. But it was just, it was a labor of love too. And Margot, she was so good. It was painful to watch some of the, you know, scenes. She actually hurt herself on that movie. And we had like four doubles on some days. And she worked so hard, but it was a wonderful experience working with her.
Mm. And then, I mean, scooting right along to, I mean, another project with Margot, but I mean, with so many other women, Bombshell, which is just, I mean, another, I mean, I don't know how you get so lucky, but was this another project? Yeah, you've been very lucky. Was this another project that you were just gunning for, or was it something that?
Well, once again, I called, I made some phone calls and I said, you know, I'll do this one. I said, you know, my son at the time was living up in Bedford, up in Westchester County in New York. And I said, you know, I know these, I said, I've seen these kind of people, you know, some of the ladies that worked on Fox News. And I said, I would like to do this one. And I thought I had the job. And then they called me back and they said, no, I said that, you know, that it wasn't the director, but there was a group of people that had decided they wanted somebody else. And it was such a big disappointment for me. And then once they went through prep and it started shooting a couple of days, I think it shot like 3 days, and they called me, they said, we want you. So I came in kind of in a rush and had to get some things kind of, I had to change some things around, kind of get some things situated, you know, just, it was hectic there for a minute. Mm. And I had worked with Charlize before, and Charlize was, you know, said, wanted me, you know, that some things had, you know, things weren't going the way they wanted them to. So I came in after it had been started for a couple of days. But yeah, it was so nice to see Kate McKinnon. I had done a movie with Kate, you know, Charlize, Margot. I mean, mm. I've been lucky.
Yeah. And I mean, to do such, I don't want to say the word iconic figures, because that would be, I think, glorifying some of the women and maybe not the best light, but to do such noticeable figures, was that at all stressful or, I mean, to have, I mean, your work sort of under a microscope, does that thrill you or does that frighten you at all?
Well, you know, I actually work pretty good, you know, like a lot of people, I work pretty good under pressure. And a lot of actors and actresses will take it to the next level. And Charlize makes sure you're there. She'll raise the bar. Mm. And you never really get comfortable. And I don't think that that's probably good to get too comfortable. You know, I'm comfortable with my actresses and I'm comfortable with what I'm doing, but I don't get so comfortable that I'm overconfident. And I mean, every day brings a new challenge. And as nice as Margot is, you know, I mean, she brings it. When she sits down in the trailer, you know, she knows her lines, she's going over her line. I mean, she brings it, and it make, you know, you want to do that too. You don't want to be any less than what they deserve. Mm. I've been lucky enough to work with, you know, actors, actresses that, I mean, I've done some of the most beautiful women in Hollywood, you know, and really nice. And it's just, you know, it raises the bar for you, and you know you're doing good work, but you really want to excel and do better work. You're never really there, but you know, at the end of the day, when you look at the movie and see it, you think, okay, I did okay.
And I mean, final one before getting into, I mean, your stellar 2022. I mean, Birds of Prey, and I'm curious. For you, I mean, obviously there are so many different interpretations of Harley Quinn. And I mean, she's obviously it's from a comic and she's been a figure for so long. I mean, and that's probably one of the most, I don't know, I would probably say out of all of your characters, probably the most noteworthy or iconic, I guess you could say. So how do you put your own spin on it, but also keep the character that's always been there?
You know, that was a tough one. That was a tough one because I thought that the first movie, she looked fantastic. You know, I really, really liked her look. And it's like, how do you go from there? And so, you know, we just kind of put ourselves in the place and I talked to her about it. I did a couple of test wigs. And I said, what do you think about this, Margot? You got drunk. You know, because, you know, her character is an interesting character, Harley Quinn is. And I said, you got drunk, you got a pair of scissors and you cut your hair off. You know, you the Joker's gone. And so I took one of the wigs and it still had the hair on it. And I said, now pick up a chunk of hair and cut it. And it was a big old pair of scissors. And I said, let's see what happens. And so that's how this happened. And then I said, just what would you do if you've had to drink? What would you do to this iconic look? And so that's how we came up with that. Just giving her a big pair of scissors and going, okay, pull it. What would you do? And we really didn't mess with it too much. And then we duplicated that on the custom pieces, you know, and then that we did the color. After talking to the director, you know, she wanted it a little, you know, more faded, which makes sense. You know, the color in the ponytails and more faded. And so that's how we tried to take it from the first on into the second look. And then the most fun on that movie was doing the Marilyn Monroe diamonds number. Yeah, that was fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, obviously your career spans every single genre that is imaginable. And I mean, your 2022 didn't stop there. I mean, The Menu is a sort of a modern take, Amsterdam period, Black Adam, superhero, sci-fi. How do you pick these projects? And what about these three in particular drew you to them?
I was doing Amsterdam. I was doing Amsterdam before Black Adam. And Amsterdam, period piece. I didn't even know it was Margot when I got called to do the test on it. I didn't know it was going to be Margot. I knew it was going to be, you know, Christian, but a period piece. And then David O. Russell, the storyline, didn't know a lot about it, but I thought, wow, this will be really cool. was a lot of work. It was hard, but I think it's a beautiful film. I mean, visually it's beautiful. And the story's great. I was prepping and Black Adam. They thought they had hired me, but they hadn't. And so one of the producers called and he said, I haven't heard from you. What's going on? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, did they not call you for Black Adam? And I said, no. He said, oh my God. So, things started happening. This was toward the end of, Amsterdam. And I had worked with Dwayne. I've worked on his movies in the past and I loved working on Jungle Cruise. And, I really, really enjoyed it. And he's such a nice man. And he has a nice crew, nothing but nice people on his crew. Mm-hmm. And Black Adam, I thought, cool, because I had done Eternals a couple of years ago with Angie. And I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed working with that director, Chloe. And then when Black Adam came up, I thought, this will be fun because I enjoyed, I've enjoyed the Marvel movies that I've worked on. And they let me have more free range, to do some of the things I need to do. And, coming up with the Cyclone character and that hair, that was a lot of testing. A lot went into that one. And then we had different things, A lot of it got cut out of the movie, but it was a lot of stuff going on there, especially for a hairdresser, things for you to sink your teeth into. Mm-hmm. And, then after that, The Menu. I do one movie right after the other.
I know, I can tell. I can tell. I
love working, but it was the menu, I got the call from the producer to do that, the same producer that did Dallas Buyers Club. And called me and said, hey, I've got one, it's a pretty good script. And I didn't know it was going to be Anya, and then I found out. And I thought, oh my God, I just worked with her. And Rafe, wonderful. Nicholas Holt, I did Warm Bodies with. What a wonderful person. What a wonderful guy. And but the script was it's got its niche audience. And it was fun to do. We had to do the same looks every day on 20 people in the same place. And with things kind of tearing down as the drama unfolds. But it was the same producer that I had done a couple other films with that called me on that one. And then I had worked with DJ before. And Amsterdam, I was just lucky, I think, to get that phone call.
Yeah. And I mean, sort of final question as our time wraps up. I mean, what haven't you done and what do you want to do? I mean,
there's been so many that I wanted to do. I wanted to do Blonde. I did the testing for that 3 or 4 years ago. Dominique the director on that, and then I didn't think it was ever going to happen, and then it did, so that would have been one that would have been fun to do since I'd done all the testing for it. And there's been many out there that I would have liked to have got, but you get busy. You can't do everything. I think Babylon would have been fun. There's so many that I would like to have done.
But any in the future that's sort of on a bucket list for you? Or does the project call you?
Well, you start thinking about things. You start thinking about things and such, we're going to be redoing some iconic movies. I think Beetlejuice would be so much fun. And, I don't know. Sometimes, I'm lucky and get the call, and then sometimes I go out trying to find out who I need to talk to, see if I can, because, now my resume kind of, it's easier to get projects where it didn't used to be that easy, because they think that you can only do this one sort of thing. And then I had a director tell me, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
I said, it's hair.
Is that a bat? No.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, I don't think it is a bad thing, but yeah.
No, I think it's a good thing. I mean, your work has obviously, it's iconic. It simply is. So, but Adrutha, to talk to you 2 times in 2 months is just, I'm so lucky and I'm so thankful. So I just want to thank you for your time today, and for all of the work that you've done that has inspired me, inspired others. I'm so thankful for this moment.
Thank you so much for, you know, for doing this, for, you know, giving me the opportunity to talk and, talk to you again.
Thank you all for listening. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jackson Vickery. Graphics were done by Dylan Michael, and the opening and closing theme were done by Sterling Gavinsky.